earlier this week, the Coalition announced their first piece of policy, well, their first public policy announcement at least, excluding the leaked policy document given to us by a Coalition mole inching forwards, which we read earlier in the show.
Inching forwards, I love it.
Yeah, it's real great satire. and it's been criticised as short-sighted, the NBN policy, that is, getting back to what we were talking about. But what about people who don't really understand broadband technology? The thing is, for the majority of Australians, the announcement sounded shiny and new. And I've got to admit, it did to me. I mean, I understood enough to go, not so great.
I understand nothing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. For so many Australians, you know, it just sounded great. So, Backchat contributor Adam Farrow Palmer spoke to tech expert Stilgarian yesterday to talk us through it.
Backchat on FBI.
So, Gary, thanks for coming on FBI's Backchat.
My pleasure.
Malcolm Turnbull's released his plan this week. What are the main differences between his and Stephen Conroy's?
It's really in the core decisions made about how we provide an improvement in broadband speeds to the bulk of the population. Now, the things that are the same, we'll get them out of the way. The most distant 7% of the population in Australia were going to get either fixed wireless or satellite connections. And that's going to continue under the Coalition plan because, well, that's all going according to plan with NBNCo and their sensible technological choices. The key difference is that whereas Labor's plan would put optical fibre directly to every home and business premise for that 93%, and it seems to be taking a while to do that, the Coalition approach is to say, well, let's just look at what we've got in existing network infrastructure. Let's look at what the highest priority areas are, so places, regional centres that have really bad infrastructure, and concentrate on them using some cheaper and knowingly interim technology, because that will at least get some improvement for those people sooner and cheaper than the rather gargantuan process of putting fibre to everyone.
One element of the Coalition policy was trying to make the most of this copper, and one of the ways was using vectorised VDSL. Can we get a bit technical now? What is vectorised VDSL?
Well, I better sort of roll back a bit and say the whole thing about the NBN was we're replacing this copper network that takes signals from the exchange to homes, which everyone uses and Telstra owns, with a new version using optical fibre. Now, what these other techniques do, fibre to the node is the term you'll hear in the Coalition policy, that says you have optical fibre from the exchange to a node point, a cabinet on the side of the road, perhaps 600 or 800 metres from the premises, and then it's still copper from there on. Now, the problem with all of these copper-based technologies is that when it comes to data speeds, the performance degrades quite fast with distance from the exchange. So these various techniques to get VDSL, very high-speed DSL, are ways of trying to improve that basic problem with the copper. And essentially it's that copper it's all this electromagnetic crap that happens in wire that has noise, that signals interfere with each other. There are methods such as bonding, which I don't quite understand, which says you use multiple pairs of copper wire to get a stronger signal. Vectoring is interesting because when you have 50 different customers' copper wire going in a 50-pair cable down the street, you get all of this interference with the signals in each wire. What vectoring does is, if you like, synchronise the signals happening on all of those wires so they're in tune and don't interfere with each other as much. It's a bit like how noise-cancelling headphones work, I'm told. The physics is a bit beyond me. Now, all of these are interim things. I should say none of these technologies that are based on copper can ever get the performance of optical fibre. Not by 10, you know, not by an order of magnitude. But the Coalition's point, and people can agree with this or not, or look at the cost models or not, the Coalition spend a smaller amount of money now and get this done, and then come back and do fibre the rest of the way. And they have cost models, which they say says that this is actually a better way to go from a business sense. And the fibre proponents say, no, it's not. Now, the cost models have just been published, so people can work through them. It's presented in a form that any business analyst will understand. It'll be interesting to see how people tear that apart.
Now, some of the numbers being thrown around between the fibre to the node and fibre to the home include 25 megabits per second and 100 megabits per second.
Mm.
In terms of the upload, why should we care about the upload speeds compared to download speeds, and how do they differ between the two plans?
Yeah, this is interesting. Everyone only talks about download speeds because they're the bigger number, and bigger is better. Upload speeds are traditionally set on all of these technologies to be much lower than the download speeds because most people are downloading more stuff from the internet. They're watching YouTube videos, they're torrenting movies illegally, all of that, and sending much less video back to the internet, shall we say. So that's a reasonable thing. Now, some of that is because of the way the technology works, but you can choose what proportion of the capacity of the network is download versus upload. And the reason why I think this is important is that if you are a consumer, then fine, the download speed is really all you're interested in. But if you're trying to be any kind of producer, and that isn't just business premises, that can be a creative person working at home or a freelancer or whatever, or many other reasons, the upload speed starts to become important too. Now, what's interesting in both the Labor and the Coalition policies is that they are setting policy-driven minimum download speeds, but not saying anything about the upload speeds. Now, with the NBNCo version of reality as it is now, the upload speeds have been specified as well, but only because they have to create a business product to sell it. So they've got to write down what they're building from an engineering point of view. The Coalition has not set a speed either, and all Malcolm Turnbull is saying is that, well, you know, it'll be in line with what the current technology does. Now, you know, I think this can be very, very important. Some people have picked this up as a bit of a, not quite conspiracy theory, but they've noticed that the News Limited newspapers got the exclusives on announcing the Coalition policy. The policy launch itself was from Fox Sports Studios. And it's actually more important if you're planning to run a pay TV network over the NBN. Download speeds are very important so people can watch the pay TV, and you don't want them having upload speeds because that might have, you know, all the kids making their own videos and putting them on YouTube rather than watching the pay TV. So I don't think you need to get the conspiracy theory into that, but there is an interesting cultural question about the ability of people to participate and create rather than merely be passive consumers.
Fact Chat.
That was part one of our interview with tech journalist Dilgarian about the National Broadband Network following the Coalition's first policy announcement this week.
Yeah, we've got part two of that interview coming up, but first here's Terrible Truths with Lift Weights. You're listening to FBI. That was Lift Weights by Terrible Truths.
And before that, we played part one of Backchat contributor Adam Farrow-Palmer's interview with technology journalist Dilgarian about the Coalition's National Broadband Network policy announcement.
Yeah, he's talked about the contrasting Coalition and government broadband policies and explained the announcement made by Abbott and Turnbull earlier this week. Here's part two.
Backchat on FBI.
The Coalition wants to sell the NBN. Who can buy?
So does Labor.
Who's going to buy the NBN?
Well, presumably, it could be anyone from an existing telco to a bunch of merchant bankers to speculative investors. We simply don't know. But that was built into the NBN model, was simply that this kind of massive infrastructure isn't built by the private sector because it's a long-term investment with a risk factor attached. And, you know, they'll make more money, you know, buying bitcoins or something. So it's not the kind of investment that is attractive to big money investors. This is what governments do. They absorb that kind of risk. And then once the risk is over, the thing is built, well, then you say, fine, that's built now. Would you like to buy it and run it? Could be anyone. That's a long way off. I mean, that's 15 years away at least.
I heard a theory that Telstra might be buying the NBN and then buying back the copper that they'd sold at a cheaper rate.
Well, Telstra's not selling the copper as such. What they're doing is they're leasing the space in the cable ducts. And in fact, Labor's version of the NBN, once an area has the fibre put in, then 18 months later the copper gets removed and turned off. The coalition strategy uses this copper as part of their fibre to the node thing until later in the piece. And look, you know, Telstra's getting paid $11 billion at the moment about this. Roughly half of that is for leasing the space in those cable ducts. If NBN Co wants to put fibre down it, then they've got to pay the rent. And the other half is because Telstra ran the copper network, every internet service provider or phone company that delivered services over that network was paying Telstra a wholesale fee. Well, in the future, they'll be paying NBN Co that wholesale fee. So as compensation for Telstra losing those customers, for every customer that gets churned away, they get a one-off payment. One of the interesting things about the coalition plan is that they will have to renegotiate that contract with Telstra. Now, Malcolm Turnbull says he's confident that'll be easy to negotiate. Well, Conroy thought that a few years ago, and it took, you know, a year or so. And part of the delay of the NBN is down to Telstra taking months and months and months to argue out that $11 billion case. The arguments about whether these interim technologies will be sufficient for the next few years come back to these very deep questions about what you think will be the demand in the future, but also what you think the government should be paying to build as opposed to the consumers or the commercial telcos to build. Now, people think that fibre will be impossible under the Turnbull model. Well, it will be. If you're in an area that is only now not 93% getting fibre straight away, but only 22%, and you think you should have fibre, well, fine, pay for it. You know, I mean, if you need it for business, that's a legitimate business expense. And so this comes down, again, to a belief factor. You know, Labor is, quite correctly, given that they're a Labor Party, is looking at social equity issues and providing infrastructure for the community for everyone. And the Liberal Party, as the major part of the coalition, is quite rightly, from their point of view, seeing things as business-like decisions and not spending too much government money. So I described it in a piece in Crikey this week as left brain and right brain. I mean, there's the left brain decision of go through all of the cost models and see if you can find mistakes, but there are all of these right brain decisions about what you think is an appropriate thing for governments to do. And they're really at the core of what will be argued out over the 6 months between now and the election.
And as someone who's worked in the technology industry and been very active on the internet for nearly 30 years, is it?
I wouldn't like to put numbers on it.
if you assumedly had a premises that you were set and you knew you'd be there for the long term, would you pay that extra up to, what, $5,000, $2,000 for the fibre to your house?
You know, $5,000 is a long-run kind of thing to put fibre in. That's a scare number that's being used politically. It depends on the nature of the business, really. But, you know, compared to, it's a one-off cost. You know, again, that would be a decision I made at the time. What I will say, though, is that there has been, throughout the history of communications technology, this phenomenon where as soon as you build a new network capability and capacity, it is filled up straight away with new uses. And sometimes it's just more of the same uses. Sometimes it's new things happen. And this is derided as a build it and they will come strategy. But it's more a build it and it will be possible strategy. And, you know, there is a lovely chart kicking around, which is kind of a kiddies version of this sort of theory. But you can see that there has been this constant increase in demand for bandwidth ever since we've had the internet, which is 40 years old now. Now, is that demand going to stop now and not resume, or will it go on forever? It's a question of faith, but I'd put my money certainly on it'll go on forever.
Stilgarian, thanks for talking to Backchat.
My pleasure, Adam.
Backchat.
It'd be good if I turned the microphone on. That was part two of Backchat contributor Adam Farrow-Palmer's interview with technology journalist Stil Gerrion about the National Broadband Network following the Coalition's policy announcement earlier this week.
Now, we want to know what you think about the announcement. Coalition or government, which do you prefer? Is it enough for high-speed broadband to make it to your street and then let the copper system in place take care of the rest? Is 25 megabits per second enough, as Tony Abbott put it? Send us a text 0409 945 945 or tweet us at FBI Radio using the hashtag Backchat.
Here's Distant Dreaming by Shining Bird.